Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've mentioned before that I find it quite amazing that there were times when Jesus seemed hesitant for his disciples to tell others who he was. I mean, in our text, it clearly says he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. St. Matthew recorded an event that happened following Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone." And later in the 9th chapter of Matthew, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. He then touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." And in today's gospel, the same puzzling warning is given to the disciples. After they have confessed who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Now, Jesus' warnings might puzzle us, but the reasons for such warnings were for our eternal benefit. That is, he had our eternal benefit in mind when he was warning them. And in all these accounts, it's almost as Jesus says to those who have been healed, "Good, now you finally understand who I am. Now that you know, don't tell anyone." So why does Jesus warn his disciples and those he healed in those texts? Why does he warn them not to tell anyone that he is the Christ? That he is the incarnate Son of God, the very God who reveals himself in our humanity. The God who closed the gap between himself and his fallen creation. The Messiah, the Christ, the long-awaited Savior. Why is this Jesus forbid such news to be proclaimed? News which you would think should be shouted from the rooftops. After all, this is the one whose birth was announced by angels, who was sought by the Magi, who is feared by kings. This is the one singular event for which all creation has waited. From the very first moment that our parents rebelled in the Garden of Eden, all the way back in Genesis 3, they have been waiting. Generation after generation longed for the day when the long-awaited promised Messiah would come. But Jesus has come. And he warns his disciples to not tell anyone. Wherever Jesus goes, crowds descend upon him, crowds who want to see him and hear him and witness his miracles. The Gospels give the distinct impression that wherever Jesus goes, virtually all other activity ceases. When Jesus goes to a particular town, it appears that many people leave behind their businesses and their homes and their daily tasks in order to be with him. Now, of course, we say, and why shouldn't they? He heals them. He feeds them. He lays hands upon them. He touches some and speaks to them words of life, peace, comfort, and assurance. But our text reminds us that Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Study the Scriptures and you soon discover that Jesus gives this warning because he doesn't want people to misunderstand who he is. Jesus didn't want people demanding that he establish an earthly kingdom. We know that some people wanted to make him their king once they saw him perform miracles. Others wanted him to be an earthly king so that he could destroy the oppressive and brutal Roman Empire But that's not the sort of king that he is. Do you recall the gospel lesson from a couple of weeks ago? The one that described Jesus sending his disciples across the Sea of Galilee to Gennesaret. The reason cited for this was because some people who had been miraculously fed with just 5 loaves and 2 fish intended to make Jesus king by force. So we're headed in the right direction with our understanding of his command when we understand that Jesus did not come to be our earthly king. And that he wasn't about the business of establishing an earthly visible kingdom. This has been something that actually has been a problem or malady for Christians on earth. Look historically and you find that after the early Christian church, you had individuals who really were mixing, inseparably that is, the church and government. Where it pretty much became the church who was dictating to emperors and such who they should attack and who they should not. Well, that's not the church's responsibility. To support government that wields the sword that God has given, of course. And government has not been given that for no reason. They are to punish the wicked, the evildoers, those who indeed are acting seditiously, those who are acting violently against innocent individuals. But that's not the church's responsibility. During the Reformation era, you may remember an event that happened during Luther's lifetime that was called the Peasants' War. Well, it just so happened that there was a professor and also a student of Luther's then who rose up against the established government of the day. And if you look at the reasonings that they rose up against the government, you can say, well, they had some valid points that they were concerned about. But certainly nothing valid enough to take up pitchforks and scythes and everything else as weapons to go after the sitting government. In many respects, some of the things that they were asking for would be things that we say communists ask for. Take from those who have and give to those who have not, so that all people can indeed be in misery. What did Luther say? He told the knights and the kings of his day, not kings, but the knights and lords of the land of his day, God did not give you a sword for no purpose. And indeed, they brought order to disorder. They rightly punished those who had picked up arms against the government. They rightly ended the seditious and violence that was being perpetrated by those peasants, because their actions were sinful. But these two individuals, the professor of Luther, as well as one of his students, they felt they were doing God's work. That was not God's work. God does not desire to establish an earthly visible kingdom. But no matter where his people are at, we are seen, if you will, just like the church is to be seen, as a city on a hill, as a lamp. A lamp, just as our window over here depicts, that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet that projects Christ, reflects Him into this dark and dying world. One other thing that we see in our readings, when you look at the broader context, is Jesus' compassion. His compassion led him to heal people wherever he went, doing so even more often than the Gospels actually record. But this sort of healing is not specifically the reason for his coming to earth. Jesus miraculously feeds thousands upon thousands, and they all eat and are satisfied, but having a full stomach is not the reason Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Think about it. What good would Christ the King be if all he did was make people feel good? What good is a Savior who's only able to take away your aches and pains and make sure you have a full stomach? With a king like that, though all the earthly comfort we want would be ours, we would be eternally lost in our sins. If our King and Savior was only good for us in this life, we'd still face an eternity of suffering because of our sins. They would still be with us unatoned for. That's why all our effort to help those who are less fortunate can never stop with simply providing help. The purpose of the church is to share the Word of God in all its truth and purity, whether they like it or not. Because it is a living Word, and it is only through that living Word that the Spirit works to bring those who are spiritually dead into His marvelous light, giving them new life, eternal life. The focus that God has given His church is to be about Word and Sacrament. Not fun and games, programs, or activities, but sharing His Word while we are responding to those that He has surrounded with us that may have need. Our text. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter's right. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then it's as if Christ says, "Wait a while. Hold your tongue. Keep your peace. Don't tell anyone who I am." It's as though He's saying now that Peter knows who he is, Peter must wait a bit to find out precisely what the Lord is there to do and then learn how Jesus wishes to be made known to others. In the chapter following today's gospel, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and leads them up on a high mountain by themselves, and there Jesus is transfigured. On that mountain, Peter, James, and John are given a glimpse of the Christ in all His heavenly glory. And they saw more than just Jesus, the man, more than just His human nature. You see, His disciples saw God unveiled, if you will. They saw Jesus' divinity in all its glory. And on their way back down the mountain, Jesus gives them another warning and reveals the reason why it is that Jesus is there. And the reason why He didn't want, that is, yet, want the people to know that He was the Christ. "Don't tell anyone what you have seen," Jesus said. "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Here the mystery is revealed. Here finally it is revealed why Jesus warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. Now we know who Jesus is and what He has come to do and continues to do. And now we know how He wishes to be known, made known among the nations. Jesus is not simply a bread machine. He's not simply some dispenser of earthly goodies. He's not just a miracle worker, healing people, sending them on their way. Jesus is the crucified and resurrected Christ, the Son of the living God. So while Jesus, His warnings not to tell anyone who He was until after He had been raised from the dead, they serve as a bit of instruction. They also serve to comfort and give assurance to the disciples. So He wants you to understand clearly and without any doubt the true purpose of His life, death, resurrection, and ascension. He doesn't want you to confess your eternal salvation with earthly comforts or point to them as somehow being a flag indicating that you're saved, or to focus more on life in this world than the eternal life in the next. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came down from heaven and did indeed perform miracles of healing and feeding and doing all sorts of other miraculous things. But these, in the end, were only a small foretaste of His greater work. They testified, if you will, to His divinity, showing the pedigree, so to speak, the provenance, that here He is, the long-awaited promised Messiah. Because above all things, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to this earth to secure heaven for you. He came to take up a cross to free you from the bondage of your sin. And by His resurrection, He announces a word of assurance that the gift of faith that you have been given receives the blessings that He bestows for your eternal benefit. Because He lives, you too shall live eternally. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.